And now to the stars. Later this month, a rare treat will be streaking across the sky. Astronomers and amateur stargazers alike are waiting in anticipation for the comet Ison, which many are predicting will be bright enough to be seen with the naked eye. Here to talk comets and to tell us more about this identified flying object, John French, the interim director of MSU's Abrams Planetarium. Welcome to Current State, John.
Oh, thank you.
Let's revisit a couple of basics here. Tell us what a comet is exactly.
Well, comets are part of our solar system, and they travel around the sun, and they're made up mostly of ice and dirt and other things like that. They're a few miles across, so kind of think of them as a giant iceberg out in space floating around and being drawn in by the gravity of the sun, and they whip around the sun and head back out into deep space again.
And they have these dramatic tails often, or at least the ones that we've seen in pictures of in books.
Right, yeah. As the comet gets closer to the sun, that ice starts to melt, essentially, and gives off gases that trail behind it and leave that nice tail that you see coming from the back of the comet. Now, a lot of times comets are kind of confused with meteors. Meteors are quite different. They just zip through the sky very quickly, where a comet is something that will linger in the sky for several weeks or months, perhaps, and you can go out and see it. So a common misconception is that you're going to go outside and see this comet streaking through the sky, but the comet really just kind of lingers there in the sky because it's moving very quickly around the sun, but from our viewpoint far away, it just seems to stay in the sky for quite some time.
I meant to bring a photograph that I have on my desk into the studio here today just to get in with the spirit of the thing, and this is of the comet Hale-Bopp, which was very visible back in 97?
It was in the late 90s. Yeah, that was really the last really great comet that that came by. There's been a few other ones that were bright enough that someone that really was looking for them could see, but Hale-Bopp was nice because you could just walk out there and look up in the sky and anybody could see it.
That cooperated beautifully.
Yes.
And there have been comets that have passed through our neighborhood here that have fizzled. I mean, I remember the comet Kohoutek from the 70s,
I remember
which
Kohoutek
was a
as
dramatic
well.
failure in terms of Skywatch.
Yes, well, that's the trouble with comets is they're very unpredictable, at least as far as their brightness is concerned. They're very predictable about where they will travel through space, but how bright they get is very unpredictable. And so this comet Ison, it was first discovered about a year ago, and it was very far out, and for how far away it was quite bright for being that far away. So there was a lot of early predictions that said, oh, this could be the comet of the century. Well, you know, it's been getting brighter as it's been getting closer, but it really hasn't been getting as bright as quickly as some of the early predictions. And so we're really keeping our fingers crossed, hoping that this comet does become one of these nice naked eye comets.
Now, when, assuming we are able to see it, when will that happen?
Well, it's, it is visible now with a moderate sized telescope, and it is brightening as it gets closer to the sun, but it hopefully will be visible later in November and early December. Hopefully that's when it's thought to be at its brightest.
Mm-hmm. And we won't know how bright it is still for will we know how bright it's going to be before it gets here, or will we just have to wait and see?
Well, yeah, the astronomers now are watching it, and, you know, every day as it gets a little bit closer and closer to the sun, it gets a little bit brighter, and you can kind of watch the graph on how bright it gets. But sometimes they'll outgas and give off extra gases and things that cause a sudden brightening.
Like a flare?
Kind of like a flare,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything science can learn from Ison?
Well, Ison is a comet that was thought to come from the Oort cloud. The Oort cloud is a big cloud of particles that are, comet nuclei that are going around our solar system real far out. And it's thought to be the remains of the original nebula that the solar system formed from.
Mm-hmm.
And so when these comets that are first-time visitors to the inner solar system come by, they do have a lot of material that would have been left over from those early days. And so it is interesting to astronomers to try to study some of the chemical makeup of these mm-hmm. comets.
I think, the most legendary comet that I think most people are aware of is Halley's Comet. How does ISON compare to Halley's Comet?
Yeah, Halley's Comet, which will come back in 2061, so mark your calendars for that. That one is one that comes around about every 75 years, and it doesn't go out nearly as far as the Oort cloud. It probably originated from the Oort cloud, but, you know, centuries ago, thousands of years ago, it probably passed close enough to Jupiter that it perturbed its orbit and put it into this little small orbit, small being every 75 years as opposed to every 10,000 years or something. Mm. But Halley's Comet, is quite bright when it comes around and quite spectacular.
And you have a program going on right now at the Abrams Planetarium, Comets in Discovery. What a
yes.
coincidence. Tell us about that.
Right. Well, the current show that we're running at the planetarium is called Comets and Discovery, and it talks about the history of comets and the history of comet hunting, a thing that a lot of astronomers do and a lot of amateur astronomers is to hunt for comets and try to find these new comets that are heading in. And this show talks a little bit about the history of how people have hunted for comets.
How does an amateur discover a comet?
Well, the traditional way is to just get out there with your telescope and scan the skies very meticulously, looking at parts of the sky that you're familiar with. And when you see a little speck in your telescope that you didn't see there the night before, it could be a comet. Then you watch it over the course of a few nights, and if it slowly moves, after enough observations, you can calculate its orbit and determine whether it's a comet or a new comet that's never been seen before.
Very interesting. And this has a unique history as well. One of the more renowned comet hunters that you talk about in your program is a woman from the 1700s, Caroline Herschel. Tell us about her.
Yeah, Caroline Herschel, she was the sister of the more famous
William Herschel.
Yeah, who discovered Uranus. And they were a brother and sister team that did a lot of astronomy. And she was an avid observer herself and spent a lot of time just hunting for comets. And there's, I think about six or so comets that still bear her name that she was the discoverer of.
So there are comet hunters have been around for centuries.
Yes.
What you're saying.
Yes.
And how long does your show at Abrams Planetarium run? This is Comets and Discovery.
Yeah, well, the program itself goes for about an hour. We have a live section that we do in the show where we talk about Comet ISON and how to observe it, and we also have a little segment about Comet Halley and what that's going to be like when it comes back. But we'll be running this show up until the holiday season when we'll switch over to our holiday show called Season of Light.
Season of Light. That's a legendary show at Abrams Planetarium.
Yes, we bring it back every year.
That's right. And give us the time window again before, once again, Comet ISON, likely to be most visible.
Yeah, it'll be most visible late November, and it actually goes around the sun on Thanksgiving Day. So when you're eating your Thanksgiving turkey, realize and know that there's a comet passing very close to the sun. Now, this comet is a sun-grazing comet, which means it gets very close to the sun. So one thing that we're not sure about is, will it survive its really close pass to the sun? If it survives, when it comes out the first week or two of December is when it's expected to be at its brightest, and it starts to head more in the direction of the Earth.
But we don't know whether it'll survive.
It might not survive.
Like
yes.
the wings of the phoenix here.
Yeah,
we don't know.
Okay. It is just a big iceberg a few miles across, and the sun is pretty hot, and the heat and the cold will react.
We got into the lexicography here of these objects here just a minute ago. Tell us where asteroids figure into this.
Right. Well, asteroids are tend to be more of a rocky type material, and the typical asteroid is in the asteroid belt, which is a zone between Mars and Jupiter, and they're in a more circular orbit going around the sun. whereas the comets tend to be in long elliptical orbits that come from deep space, go very close to the sun, and head back out into deep space.
And what were asteroids created from?
Well, they were probably also just part of the original solar nebula when the solar system formed, and as particles were coalescing around the sun, planets formed in some parts of the solar system, but in that zone between Jupiter and Mars, a planet didn't form. Instead, we ended up with a lot of little small chunks of rock.
Very interesting. John French, we appreciate your time. John's the interim director of MSU's Abrams Planetarium. We've been talking about the comet Ison. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.